This is the least that we can do for the outstanding service he has given our community, and I'm really very pleased to be in a position to support it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, it was truly a big loss to our city and to the police bureau to lose Mark Salawi. I don't think I met him, although I may have run into him on a ride along in Northeast with Lieutenant Harry Jackson at one time or another. But I did have a chance to attend part of the prayer vigil service at Northeast Precinct last Thursday, and was certainly impressed with the depth of not only the Bureau, Northeast Precinct officers and personnel, but the community, the pastors and the citizens and the kids, all wearing their Z-Man hats. He really left, as I surmised, he made quite an impression and did a lot and treated people fairly and with respect. And that's so much the part of the work of the police in the city. And he did it well. So this is a small gesture, but it's an important one to provide health insurance to his family for 3 years. And I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Sten.
I did not know the officer, but I've come to know his reputation, and certainly know close friends of mine have spoken so highly of him that I can see what a tremendous loss it is, and I appreciate the mayor and Yvonne and Robert King working on this. It's not enough to fill a hole, and you know, people die tragically in all walks of life, and I think we sometimes don't realize what it leaves. And so I think maybe perhaps by helping this officer, we're not only doing the right thing, but kind of think about how we ought to be able to, as a community, come together when all these types of things happen. And it was just a tragic circumstance that I don't think we'll ever even know exactly what happened, but what we do know is it's a huge loss, and it's certainly an honor to be able to help in a small way, which is obviously nothing like the loss. Aye.
Potter.
I think this gesture towards the family in terms of providing health care is a very important gesture, and I think what it does is it reflects upon the legacy that Officer Zalawi left, not only within the Portland Police Bureau, but within the community. He will be missed. His family will continue on, and this will be one small way in which we can help. I vote aye. Please read items 213, 214, and 215 together.
S-213, amend city code to provide funding based on residential use of the street network to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County's effort to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge. S-214, amend city code to provide funding based on non-residential, non-high pass by use of the street network to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County's effort to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge. S-215, amend city code to provide funding based on non-residential high pass-by use of the street network to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County's effort to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think we discussed that we will take public testimony when we get to consideration of items 217 and 218. But I propose that we send these three ordinances back to my office, and I'd like to make a statement. I believe that enactment of a major new fee in the city requires unanimous support by the Portland City Council. An enactment of the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative was also recommended by the 89-person steering committee for the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative, a steering committee that was very diverse in its representation. It was also supported by the Portland Tribune editorial board, the Oregonian, and a majority of the folks that filled out a survey and attended the 21 public town halls on this issue. But the corrosive influence of special interest lobbyists have taken their toll on this issue. And I still have 4 votes in support of enactment, but I no longer have unanimous support on the Portland City Council for enactment of the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative. So I propose that the Portland City Council refer the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative to the November general election ballot. It will be subjected to monumental misinformation by the big oil petroleum industry. But I trust voters, I trust Portland voters, to see through this misinformation and to make the right choice to save lives, save money, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. A November election, and not one in May, will allow for a full debate on the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative. Anyone who thinks that this can get done in any way that is fair, objective in May, with a quick turnaround in May, simply is basically saying they oppose safer streets in Portland. The November election will likely have the largest turnout in recent history, and it will allow for the highest amount of participation of the voters on this issue. And I appreciate the City Council for considering this approach. And my request is to send these ordinances back to my office.
Being that I was the fifth vote, I'd like to make a statement as well, is that I support this fee. I think it's important for our community. And I think it's important on how it's presented to the community. There's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks and maneuvers. But I have felt that this is something that should be voted on by the voters. And I also recommended that it be voted on in May, that I believe that going to the November ballot places it and a number of the other issues that will be on the November ballot in jeopardy. So I believe that that's important, but there will be time for that discussion. So,
well, in that context, I was going to make some remarks on the next item, but it appears they're more contemporaneous to this discussion, so I'd like to say a couple things. Our form of government was thoughtfully crafted based on centuries of world history, going back to the ancient Greeks and Romans. And when the founding fathers, specifically Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, attempted to explain to the American public why they should adopt the document known as the United States Constitution, they engaged in a series of treaties that they published throughout the colonies that we now know as the Federalist Papers. And the Federalist Papers, I've got an old dog-eared copy of that I've used for decades. But I use it a lot in the legislature because this kind of discussion came up a lot, and I would use it to remind my colleagues when they would get up and talk about the right to of the people to vote on certain issues and the sanctity of the referral system, that, in fact, according to our founding fathers, those are actually perversions of our form of government. Our founding fathers created a government thoughtfully balancing and arguing whether or not we should have a direct democracy or a republic. And as I remind people often, when you put your right hand over your heart and you say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, you don't say to the democracy. And those were very thoughtfully considered words. Those were very thoughtfully considered alternatives when this government that we live under was designed. In Oregon, we adopted the initiative referral system around the turn of the 19th to 20th century. I think it was in the 1901 session of the Oregon legislature. It was fairly unique in the United States, South Dakota having adopted it first a couple of years before that. And what we've seen from then till now is exactly what, in particular, James Madison predicted when he wrote Federalist Paper Number 10, and I want to read you just the relevant portion to this discussion, when he's debating whether or not we should have a direct democracy as our form of government or whether or not we should have a Republican form of government, meaning a republic. And he said, a pure democracy who assemble and administer the government in person can admit of no cure for the mischiefs of faction. A common passion or interest will, in almost every case, be felt by a majority of the whole. A communication and concert results from the form of government itself, and there is nothing to check the inducements to sacrifice the weaker party or an obnoxious individual. Hence, it is that such democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Theoretic politicians who have patronized this species of government have erroneously supposed that by reducing mankind to a perfect equality in their political rights, they would at the same time be perfectly equalized and assimilated in their positions, their opinions, and their passions. A republic, by which I mean a government in which the scheme of representation takes place, opens a different prospect and promises the cure for which we are seeking. Of course, the 13 colonies went on to ratify the United States Constitution. Oregon became a state in 1859 and adopted a constitution on February 14, 1859, that encapsulated those words in that form of government. And it wasn't till 40 years later, till the initiative referendum was put into the Constitution. So what does that mean? Here's what that means. I'll tell you what it means. And it has a direct impact on the struggles that we have as a state today. We have a school system that is underfunded, overcrowded, with a crumbling infrastructure as a direct result of the initiative referendum, where the passions of the majority overwhelmed the rights of the minority, in this case, children. You have a crumbling infrastructure on our streets and highways in Oregon that are costing people's lives. Why? Because every time the legislature tries to increase the gas tax, the passions of the minority, in this case, the petroleum interests, refer to the voters, come up with untold dollars to kill it, and as a result, we have a bridge in Portland that's rated 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of safety, and the one I want to remind you that collapsed in Minnesota was rated 50, and we don't have the money to fix it. So as I sit here, a bus can't go over the Selwood Bridge, a fire engine can't go over the Selwood Bridge. Why? I would argue directly because of what James Madison predicted would happen when you allow the passions to marginalize the interests of the whole. We have children in Oregon that won't have health insurance, that are today not having health insurance because the tobacco industry accumulated tens of millions of dollars to kill an initiative, actually to pass a referral to kill the initiative the legislature passed to provide health care for children. I would argue that is a victim of the initiative referral system. So I would make this last point to Mayor Potter. The people that you unfortunately find yourself aligning yourself with today are the same people that hate the day labor center. It's being proposed on the other side of the river. They hate the homeless access center. They hate immigration rights. They think that anybody that wasn't born here should be run out of this country on a rail. They hate your position on Del Monte. And if you think this is a good idea to refer this to the voters, how do you ideologically not propose having the voters vote on a day access center? That's spending taxpayer dollars. That's controversial. Some of these same folks that don't like this idea and don't like that, what's the difference? Well, there isn't a difference. And I'm prepared to vote and fund a day labor center just as I'm prepared to make a decision here today to fund our roads. Because this is not an esoteric issue. As we've heard from some of the folks that are in the audience, this is causing people their lives. This is causing people to, at minimum, be fearful. This is causing people, at minimum, to be unsafe. And this is causing good, hardworking Portlanders increased maintenance costs on their vehicles because of the condition of roads that cause more harm to them. It's not fair. And it also, to me, just as James Madison said, not appropriate to subject issues that I believe have to do with the public safety and welfare and interests to be subjected to tens of millions of special interest dollars from out-of-state oil companies, from those that have no interest in the safety or welfare of Portlanders but do have an interest in their bottom line. And I get that. I've been doing this long enough that I get that. And I think what I'm saying here isn't really so out of the box. I think what I'm proposing here and what I'm suggesting here really is a quite conservative position. Stick with what the Founding Fathers said we ought to do in this country. Make decisions. And then allow the voters to decide one way or the other whether they like the decision you make. That's the system of government they set up. That's the system of government I ran for. And that's the system of government I'm willing to take, good or bad. And this hasn't been pleasant this last couple weeks for any of us up here, but, some of the things that I've read and heard in the last 2 weeks hasn't changed my mind. They've reinforced my position that you can't allow important issues like this to be subjected to the moneyed interest or the narrow interest of the few that overwhelm the good of the whole. So I will support Commissioner Adams in sending this back. But as you can tell, I'm not happy about it. That's not my druthers. I think we ought to pass it. I think we ought to let people do what they want. And this phony argument that somehow we are making it hard for people to refer to the voters is just specious and unbelievable. What they're really saying is we don't want to have to refer a narrow piece that proposes a tax on businesses, because if you do that, you guys, voters won't overturn that. We want to group together with the homeowner fees so that it'll be easier for us to overturn it, because they can't defend not paying their fair share in taxes as businesses in this city. That's the real reason people are upset. Well, that's fine. Take your case to the voters as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think we ought to be doing anything to facilitate the narrow interest in this debate to buy an election. And in many ways, I feel like that's what we're doing. We're making it easier for people who are used to controlling the destiny of this community because they have a lot of money and are able to buy TV ads and radio ads and get talk show hosts to scream to their defense. They think they can buy this. I hope Portlanders see through it. I think Portlanders will see through it. I'll do my best to help them see through it. But I'm certainly not going to sit up here and somehow pretend like I'm defending democracy by going along with this, because it's to me not one of the highest and brightest days since I've arrived on this council. Thank you.
Any other objection to having it pulled back to Commissioner Adams' office? Okay. Items 2, 13, 14, and 15 have been returned to Commissioner Adams' office. Please read item 216.
Vacate a portion of Northwest Natal Parkway east of Northwest 9th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read items 217 and 218 together.
217, amend city code to provide funding to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County's efforts to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge. 218, establish a Portland Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Independent Oversight Committee to ensure the effective delivery of projects and services.
Mr. Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm asking the council to essentially agree to reconsider the vote by which these two measures passed at our last meeting. I've said exactly what I wanted to say on this issue on the last one, so I won't repeat any of that other than to say I think that Commissioner Adams is attempting to mold a package that we can all get behind, and by reconsidering this vote, that will give us the ability to do that.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
We did not set out sign-up sheets.
Is anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please come forward, folks.
Me again.
You speak, state your name for the record. Each have Colt. 3 minutes.
Adam,
each have 3 minutes.
Okay, gotcha. First, I want to thank my fellow citizens of the city of Portland, because the city of Portland really is the city that works because the citizens have enough sense to look at the rest of the United States and go, we have the best form of city government here. Mayor Potter, the citizens of Portland have already said that we appreciate and applaud your vision. Part of that vision is giving us the ability to not have to deal with what we had to deal with the tobacco industry, trying to fund health care for children. What we really need is to not go through another battle with the petroleum industry, which has even more money than the tobacco industry, and which will fight tooth and nail for this. What I'm asking is please change your vote. You're an open-minded man. This could be part of your legacy because you really are the linchpin of this. I really feel this needs to move forward. Commissioner Adams has gone out there over and over and over again and talked to many of us, just as you've done with your visioning. And overwhelmingly, we, the people, have said, we trust you guys to make the right decision for us, and the right decision is to not have to split this up, to not have to go through political dances, to not be held hostage by the oil industry, to not have to deal with politics. Just give us the clean streets, the safe streets, the green streets. Give us the Selwood Bridge. Then, after we have this, the recommendation would be to placate the oil industry. Let's lobby Metro to bring them into the fold, so that they can't use the argument that people will go outside Portland's borders to fill up their gas tanks. Then let's use Portland's lobbyists to lobby or Salem to include other cities in this. Because once we have Metro on board, we pretty much have everything covered, and I think their argument would be moot. So please, Mayor Potter, please open your mind and reconsider this. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. Commissioners, my name is Scott Bricker. I'm with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, a registered lobbyist. And I've been involved with the Safe, Sound, and Green process from at least close to the inception. And this has, unfortunately, I guess I'm going to be more blunt, perhaps more blunt than I should about this issue. But this has turned into a good government, bad government issue. Over the last 9 months, I have participated in good government. I've sat on an executive committee, a steering committee, had me, my staff, and the people who I work to represent attend over 20 public meetings and town halls, open houses. I have binders of information, press conferences, public. There has been more public process over this. And through that process, we have built community support. An 89-member stakeholder committee has supported the recommendations here. I myself have worked to get environmentalists, youth representatives, school representatives, bicyclists, walkers, seniors, large businesses, small businesses, and other citizens to participate and support this. And yes, there have been changes, and yes, there have been people, things that have had to been tweaked, but that's part of the process. And coming out of the tail end, having 89 members, every member of the group support this program is monumental. That, to me, is good government. That's inclusive government. And what is poor government to me? Poor government to me is having an organization and its affiliates not participate in the process, even though they were invited to, not seeing them in any of the meetings except for perhaps the first one, come in at the end of the day demanding things that were not necessarily represented early on, and then saying, well, we don't want to have to participate, but we're just going to bomb this whole thing. And to have that lead the day, the discussion over the last 2 weeks has been framed almost exclusively with the lobbyists of these big interests. Now, I'd love to say that the bicycle industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and I'm sure it probably is worldwide, and there are more bicycles sold every year than cars. But we are a less expensive alternative. We require donuts as opposed to petroleum. And we don't have the big money, but we have community support. And there is a wide range of community support over this. And this discussion has gone forward because of special interests. This program is about the fact that our roof is leaking. Our roads are falling apart. Our children are dying. Our families are getting killed, injured, can't walk to school. When your roof is leaking in your house, you don't really have a choice. If you don't fix that, 2 years later, your house is going to, it's going to cost 10 times as much to fix that. We are in that situation now. I urge you to unanimously pass this measure. I urge you to get behind the process that has been developed. And I really hope that this can be done with the people who we've so strongly elected, the five of you, unanimously, as opposed to have to go to special interest to battle a referendum. Thank you.
I'm Dorothy Davidson, and I'm not part of the oil company. I just happen to be a lowly taxpayer here in Portland. And I saw the city council take money to put in a skylift over here that went way over budget and used up all this money you're asking us to shell out to add to your coffers to who God knows how you're going to find some other project to throw it away on. You're grabbing enough money from us to run this city effectively if you'll stop throwing money away. And we just saw it happen. You all took a vote on this policeman. Now, I realize I appreciate him as an officer, but everybody else in the city of Portland, if your husband dies and you have children, we have Social Security that steps in and takes care of the medical expenses. I don't see that a city has to pay for this, but you keep spending money like as if we have trees in our backyard producing it. You have citizens that are working and are already paying 51% of their taxes to make the government run. That's called slavery in my mind. We do not need this money added to our city expenses, my expenses, and I object to it, and I'm glad that Mayor Potter had the guts to stand up and say what he has said.
Just so you know, Officer Zawali did not have Social Security. Police officers that were hired with Mark Zawali did not get Social Security provided by the city.
You mean if their husbands die?
They receive no Social Security benefits because they don't pay into it. It's a requirement of the city.
Well, I stand corrected.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. So this is a vote to sustain the objection. I'd just like to understand, does this actually change anything in terms of the how this is going to be written into city code?
No. This actually is, I think, an aye vote essentially kills the measure.
The effect of an aye vote to sustain the objection would be to repeal the ordinance. And it's of no further force and effect. The legal effect is that it is as if the ordinance failed in the first instance.
Okay. Please call the vote.
So, Commissioner Adams, nope. You're recommending it.
I vote. Please call the vote.
Adams.
So we will be returning with a... an ordinance or resolution later in the month. Resolution. We'll be returning with a resolution later in the month to put this item as a single measure on the November ballot. And our tentative timeline for that, I think, is February 27th for consideration of that resolution. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 218.
Establish a Portland Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Independent Oversight Committee to ensure the effective delivery of projects and services.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 219.
Approve amended articles of incorporation of the for the Oregon Parks Foundation.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is merely a bookkeeping item to amend the Oregon Parks Foundation's articles of incorporation. Its passage allows them the independence they have requested. This foundation was created in 1972 as the Portland Metropolitan Parks Foundation. It soon evolved into the Oregon Parks Foundation and is spreading its own wings. Subsequent to that, though, 4 or 5 years ago, Portland now has a wonderful Portland Parks Foundation. So I also need to offer an amendment to the last be it resolved. It would read that the council hereby approve the amendment to the Articles of Incorporation as opposed to the amended Articles of Incorporation.
Second.
Okay, thanks.
Please call a vote on the amendment.
Vote on the amendment, yeah.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Is there anyone who signed up to testify on this matter?
I had a sign-up sheet and no one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 220.
Authorize an agreement between Portland Parks and Recreation and the Oregon Department of Transportation to accept a grant of $460,000 to develop a portion of the Columbia Slough Trail between Portland International Raceway and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stinn.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Mayor, we need to read item 191 that was pulled
yes.
from consent for the record. 191, authorize a contract with Michael Kemp, MDK Training, for firearms and taser instruction.
This is the item that I request to be pulled back to the mayor's office for further work. Hearing no objection, we are adjourned until next week.
Yeah, we could do that later.
Will do. Yeah.
Can it pop over in a minute?
Yeah. You
want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
You're welcome.